Hardcore Beats. This is Sia and Rise with the song One.
Welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and thank you for joining me today. This is CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus, or you might be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network, and wherever you are or whatever space and time you're listening to this. Thank you for tuning in today. So I'm going to be playing an interview that I did with Farzana Jafar. I haven't got it written down. Oh my goodness. It's totally... Her name is Farzana. It's a complicated name, but I say it in the interview. And she is the author of I Cheat at Meditation. And she's offering... The reason that I wanted to do it this... at this point in time is because she's offering her book on sale on ebook. So Kindle or Kobo for just $2. And I felt like it was a really important time at the beginning of the year. Some people have resolutions to start up with meditation. And I really love the tips and tricks that she provides in the book. So get ready for that interview. It's all here on CITR. So I hope that you're having a wonderful 2017 so far. And we'll just jump right in. Have a great day. Hello, this is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we're joined today by Farzana Jaffer Jeraj, and she is the author of I Cheat at Meditation, Zen in 60 Seconds. And I had to invite her on the show because she has this beautiful gift that she is giving. She's providing her ebook available for a deeply discounted price. And frankly, I had no plans on reading the book until I saw the price and I thought, oh, I'll give it a try, expecting that it would be nothing new. But it was. So I ended up staying up all night reading this book, which I guess is probably counterintuitive, but I was so excited and had to have Farzana on the show while the sale is still going on, because I deeply feel the importance of how important it is to impact as many people as we can with this meditation technique. So welcome to the show, Farzana.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. And as you know, we start the show with an intentional prayer or meditation, and I'm curious to see what you have for us. So go ahead if you're comfortable.
Okay, so because it's a brand new year and we're right at the beginning of it, we're still officially in the first week of 2017. One of the biggest things that I like to do at the beginning of the year is, I know we have a tendency to make this massive list of resolutions, but for the most part, we get to the end of the year and very few, if any, of those things on that list have been accomplished because we set out with so many. And so one of the things that I've started doing every January is I like to take myself in my mind to the end of the year with my primary resolution. I pick one above all others that if at the very end of the year I were to have accomplished that and looked back on the year, I would feel full in my heart and I would feel really proud of myself for having done that. If it was only that one thing, and even if it's a journey of progress on that one thing. And at the beginning of the year, I like to use my meditations and the gift of that space to really give energy to the commitment that I make to myself on that.
Beautiful. So is that part of the reason why you've discounted the book so that more people can be touched by it?
Absolutely. I feel like the meditation is not so much about how to make your mind really quiet as opposed to giving yourself space throughout a day in a minute to spend little minutes and pockets of time with yourself. Because I feel like so often we don't really have time to deal with the emotions and the events and the things that come up in our lives, and we have to go, go, go and be present and stay committed and do the next thing and show up and just saying that we have to deliver on so many things, and we're so busy that we don't usually take that time to be with ourselves and to deal with the emotions and the things that come up and to have that sort of reset that we probably took when we were teenagers and we lay in our beds and stared at the ceiling until we zoned out for a little while. And whether or not you know it, if you ever did that as a teenager, you are already an expert meditator.
Awesome.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just had the thought that I don't think teenagers these days get to do that anymore.
I know. It's a lot busier. And I think most adults, too. I mean, those of us who did do that, we were told by people in our lives, by the adults in our lives who meant well, that stop daydreaming, you're so lazy, stop wasting time, that even though our minds want to go to those places, like we get home at the end of a day and we want to just veg out for a little while and let go and have space to do nothing, a part of us, there's that little voice that says, well, you should be doing laundry, you should be reading that book, you should be doing this. And so often the space that we take to decompress is filled with a lot of shoulding.
And in your book, I Cheat at Meditation, you call should a four-letter word and you've actually compacted it.
Awesome.
It's a bad word.
And we use it a lot. I use it a lot. Even after reading your book, I'm more aware of, oh, I'm using that word again, but I still use it. But I use other four-letter words too. So there you go. Not on the radio. I try to restrain myself, but
So good.
so
Okay.
I wanted to, oh, did you want to start the meditation?
Should we do
Okay.
the meditation
Sure.
now?
Yeah, if you're
Okay.
yeah.
Yes. All right. So if you're listening to this and you're driving, please don't do the meditation while you're driving. Pull over. Same with bicycles. Not a good idea to meditate while you're riding a bike. And I invite you to take a moment to close your eyes. It doesn't matter where you are. Give yourself a moment to allow your spine to be straight. Let your head be heavy or light wherever it rests. Notice the back of your eyelids. It's okay if they perhaps flutter or are still, both are fine. Allow the skin on your face to soften. Let your jaw release. Let it go slack and loose, allowing space between the rows of your teeth and maybe even your lips. Let go your shoulders and arms. Let your chest broaden. And take a moment to notice your breath as it flows naturally, easily, and effortlessly. In and out of your body. Already your breath has probably begun to shift, to let go, to release. Maybe it's softer or deeper in your body, and that's just fine. And as you notice your breath, you may notice the sound of my voice, sounds of things in your environment.
Lost her again. We'll just wait. Last time she came right back. Here she is. That's okay. That's okay. We were noticing what ha in our environment. Something happened in your environment, I guess.
It wasn't Google Hangouts happening. Okay. Do you want to go back and do it again?
I think we're okay. I just feel like we had a little bit of a taste of it, and now we're awoken. Actually, that happened with me. I did a beautiful New Year's meditation, and then I went back and listened to it, and there was an ad in the middle.
Oh,
I had to del fix it after, but I feel bad for the first 100 people who were jarred by this ad. So that happens with the internet. But thank you. You gave us just a taste. And what I want to actually encourage everyone to do, if you're watching this on YouTube, then you definitely have the ability to pick up the ebook. It's available on Kindle and Kobo. And of course, there is a paper version wherever books are sold. But you're offering this book, I Cheat at Meditation, for $1.99 US, I believe.
Yes,
And
that was
the paper version is regular price, but this, because it's electronic, you can discount it.
paper version. I have it right here. I believe it's 36.99 Canadian or 29.99 US.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yay. And we actually, I didn't really do much of an introduction for you because I was so excited about just getting the word out about your book. But you have been a model. You work as a coach with athletes and executives and very successful people. And in your book, you actually talk about a little bit about the story of how you started meditating. And maybe you can share some of that with us today because it's an amazing story.
Oh, thanks. It was really profound. I didn't get into the detail about the spiritual side of that because I really wanted this book to be something that anyone, no matter what they believed in, spiritual, science, like, because there are a lot of spiritual people that are very scientifically based. There are a lot of people from different religions of the world, but I believe that our bodies were built for meditation. And when I was 3 years old, I actually, in the book, I got it wrong. And when my mom read it for the first time, she got really mad at me because she said, "You were younger than that. You were three when I took you." And in my community, I was raised as an Ismaili, and we're very Sufiistic in our upbringing. And so with that, part of that Sufi tradition is meditation. And we meditate at 4 a.m., because 4 a.m. is the time when your brainwaves are actually in their deepest state. I mean, in the teachings of the faith, they said that's the time when all of the angels come down. And that's the quietest time in any area of the world that you can get. And so I remember everything like it was yesterday. I remember waking up that day and that tingly feeling in the air. And it's totally different when you wake up at 4 a.m. versus staying up till 4 a.m. But there's this wonderful feeling, like you can, like a heightened sense of awareness, even though your body feels kind of foggy and you probably couldn't jump into an alert conversation at 4 a.m. There's still this sharp feeling of like crisp awareness because everything is so still that you sense the little ripples of movement everywhere with such clarity. And I remember even the drive to mosque, and I think I joke about it a little bit, but it was a really big deal. It was my first time I got to have some chai, and as like a little Indian girl, chai is a really big deal. You grow up on chai. And when we went to the mosque, it was just this little tiny place. There wasn't a very elaborate mosque at the time. And we went in, and it was this little dark room. It was pitch black. The only light in the room was from the exit signs, like the little red lights that said exit in the room. And my mom gave me prayer beads, and she said, "Just say this prayer." And she said, "Just say it again and again and again." And there was something about that that just didn't feel right. Like inside, I felt like that was wrong. And so I kind of asked the universe, "What should I do?" And I had a little corridor appear in my mind. And all the thoughts that I had as I sat there, I didn't have any instruction. I didn't really know what to do or how I should do it. But thoughts that popped up, feelings that popped up, everything entered that little corridor and kind of narrowed and then expanded out. And as they came through, I'd kind of sit with them for a moment. And I was like, well, I guess it doesn't really matter. And then they would just pass through and dissipate until there was nothing left. And the corridor kind of dissolved. And I was left in peacefulness. But it wasn't cold or dark necessarily. It was just stillness, and it was so beautiful. And I did have some other experiences within that stillness. But the fact of the matter is, no one told me that it was hard. Nobody told me that it was difficult. And I really don't believe that I was some progeny or, you know, special sort of, I don't think that was the right word at all. I wasn't special in some way, but I believe that because I was exposed to it and nobody gave me any restrictions, my brain and my body did what it wanted to do naturally, which is release and let go and simply decompress and just be. And I got to be with myself, with the universe, and just sit in that space. And it was so profound and so amazing and beautiful that ever since then, I've woken up almost every day of my life at 4 a.m. to pursue some kind of meditation of some form. I mean, I've since studied all kinds of meditation and the mind. Anytime I can get in and learn more about the mind and the brain and all of its different wonderful opportunities that we have to just expand more into ourselves and a greater understanding of self, I pursue that. But that was the big start for me.
To hear extended interviews and behind-the-scenes chat, go to my website, mariebenard.com, and sign up for my mailing list, mariebenard.com. Thanks for listening.
Ever had a hankering to ski the world-famous slopes of
Whistler?
Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar BC. Zipcar. Wheels when you want them.
When you purchase the latest TV, tablet, or smartphone, don't forget to do the right thing with your old ones. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old devices as easy as buying new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find recycling tips, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Don't let your old tech tools clog your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org.
Oh, thank you for sharing. I love that we get to talk more about it, because you get to go into really take that voyage with you as I'm hearing you share it. And one of the things I love, the name of the book is I Cheat at Meditation. And I really want to plug this sale, because it's on sale for basically $2 US on Kindle and Kobo. And you don't have to have one of those devices. You can put it on your phone, you can read it on your computer. And another thing that comes with the book is there's a back end to your website where people can download a series of meditations that take you through the steps. And I have to say, that was when I listened to the longest meditation, I knew people had to hear about this. Your voice, first of all, your voice is fantastic, and it's just so calming. And as you take us through the steps, before your Google Hangouts cut out there, we could hear the impact, right? You could feel it. And so I just want to say that I really felt an experience of it. And for me, I'm still learning this technique. So I actually prefer the longest meditation, because you go through the steps so much more in depth. And again, the name of the book is I Cheat at Meditation. And you can look it up anywhere books are sold. So Farzana, I'm not sure what to ask you next. I'm just so excited to have you here. So you started meditating at 3 years old. You had this deep, profound experience, which was also just sounds like supernatural. It wasn't, and I don't mean supernatural, spooky, but really natural, just in your body, present and connected. And the adults who are going to be reading your book, I would imagine a lot of them either haven't tried meditation at all or have a lot of beliefs around not being able to do meditation. So what do you say to people who are feeling that way?
Well, I always say, first of all, this technique is not the only thing that I practice. However, I use it all the time. I used it before we started our Google Hangout today. Every time I'm about to speak, I use it before, you know, big presentations. I use it to get into the zone for writing. I use it for all kinds of things. However, there are a million different ways to meditate. I just picked this one to deliver for I Cheat at Meditation, because I know it carries the components that make it easy to clear your mind, that make it easy to get the distracting thoughts out of the way, and that really genuinely use the physiology of your body to affect your mental and emotional and spiritual state. Because the fact of the matter is 60% of anything you do physiologically affects your emotional state. So, right, like when you slouch and you look down and you're kind of sluggish and you take shallow breaths, you're going to start to feel lethargic and depressed and not good, right? But if your shoulders are back, if your eyes are high, if your eyebrows are, like, you know, lifted and you're smiling, you're going to have more endorphins, you're going to have more energy, you're going to be drawing in more oxygen into your body, and it's almost impossible to feel unhappy or depressed or slow when you're in that physiology. And the same is true. Like, there have been studies of all kinds of emotional states and the physiologies associated with them. Just by turning people back to back, and you put one person in, you know, you get one person to do the physical state and the other person, you just move their body into it. They can tell you what the other person is feeling. So you say to this person, you whisper to them, you say, I want you to do sadness. And that person will do sadness. And then you copy their body image on the person who's not even looking at them and mirror their exact physiology. And the person who didn't know what they were supposed to be feeling will give the exact feeling that the other person is feeling. And so our bodies are huge for that. And so if you can blink, you can do this meditation. If you can breathe, you can do this meditation. If you have the ability to pay attention for even seconds at a time, as opposed to many, many minutes and forcing your thoughts out of your mind, you can do this one. It's really, really meant to be as easy as possible, because I feel like if it's easy, then we're more likely to come back for a little bit more. If it's easy and we feel the benefits of it right away, we keep coming back, we do a little bit more and a little bit more. And I think the best thing I ever get from people is when they say, is it okay if I meditate for longer than a minute? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. You can definitely meditate for longer than a minute.
Thank you, Farzana. So you, like you said, this is not the only meditation or practice that you do, but it seems like it's like a gateway to get the experience. And you mentioned even in the book that you want people to have the feeling of it so that they get hooked, because it does feel good and it does make a difference.
Yes, absolutely. And that said, I do use it as a starting point for all of my other meditations. I do use the I Cheat technique just to get into the space to do all of the other meditations as well.
Wonderful. And I am curious about, because you use some physical tricks with your body, your eyes, your face, and that help to focus, help to clear the mind and change, like you were saying about when we're slouching over. So we're changing our physiology to get us into the state of relaxation and a clearer mind. And I'm wondering where you learned that, because I know you also do NLP and coaching, and I'm curious what the connection is there.
Okay, so the breath, I mean, that's centuries and centuries and centuries, thousands of years old. It's from sports training, all kinds of things. But if you think about it, I mean, pranayama, yoga, all of these fields, there isn't a single meditation in the world that doesn't notice the breath in some shape or form. And what's really cool is just the breath alone is a subconscious mechanism, right? Your autonomic nervous system controls your breath. Involuntarily, you will take breaths all the time. And while most of those breaths are pretty subconscious, you have emotions attached to every breath, right? Like, you have breaths that you take when you're really, when you sigh, you have breaths that you take when you're feeling stressed out and in a rush to get somewhere. You have breaths that you take when you're really, really angry. Right? And we have breaths that we take when we're really peaceful and calm. And so the idea of the breath is that by consciously bringing attention to this subconscious mechanism of your body, your breath, if you think about it, is the easiest subconscious mechanism to take conscious control of, right? Even though you're breathing all the time without thinking about it, and there are all kinds of emotions associated with your breath, by noticing it, by actively changing it, you can do a lot of difference to your breath. True?
Absolutely.
You can shift it. So my thing is without even actively doing anything to your breath, just by noticing it, if you close your eyes and notice your breath and simply notice how it flows, notice how it moves in, notice how it moves out, what starts to happen is your physiology, without even trying, starts to change, and all of your brain waves start to sync up, because that conscious and subconscious mind are aligning on something as simple as your breath. It's so neat. And because you're going in with the intention to meditate and find some form of calmness or peace or clarity, or to get energy, or a combination of all of those things, your subconscious knows that, and that conscious and subconscious syncs up together in the most beautiful way to achieve that, so that you're really already as one. Do you want to know about the eye trick as well?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So the eye trick, that comes, so I am a hypnosis master trainer. So I train people to get certified in becoming a hypnotherapist. And the eyes are one of the oldest tricks in the book. It is something that's passed down from hypnotist to hypnotist, and something that's like, it's part of the guild of knowledge that we hold. But if you think about it, the neurons that fire together, wire together. And every night when you go to sleep, your eyes start to roll into the back of your head. And as your eyes roll into the back of your head, you start to pass into this moment where you're sort of half awake and half asleep. And everyone at some point in your life has felt this, when you're fighting to stay awake and your eyes keep wanting to shut. And you're like, no, stay open, stay open. Your eyes start to roll into the back of your head. And so what's really cool is that you cannot physiologically fall asleep without your eyes rolling into the back of your head and your brain waves shifting into meditative state. And so by physically using that, by rolling our eyes up, either eyes open, or by rolling our eyes up, eyes closed, right, you're rolling them into the back of the head, you're literally physiologically triggering the moment where your brain goes into that trance state. And your brain starts to learn how to access that more easily. And it's called an induction. So it induces a state of brainwave trance.
Cool. Yeah, I love that.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
All Access Pass is back for season 2. We are a collectively run weekly program that discusses equity, inclusion, and accessibility issues on and off UBC's campus, including both visible and invisible disabilities. You can catch All Access Pass every Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Anyone can get involved. No experience is necessary. People of all abilities are welcome to join. Check us out on Facebook at All Access Pass, or get involved by emailing accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
We are speaking with Farzana Jaffer Jaraj. Did I say it right?
Yeah, Jaraj. You're saying it really, really well.
And she is the author of I Cheat at Meditation, Zen in 60 Seconds. And right now, if you're watching or listening in January of 2017, there is a huge deal going on before the holidays and for the new year. Farzana is essentially gifting the ebook copy of her book, I Cheat at Meditation, for less than $2 American. I believe it was $2.61 Canadian for me on Kobo. And it comes with recordings as well. You've got to go on to the back end of her website to download those. But she explains the technique in the book. She walks you through a series of meditations that get shorter and shorter so that you get to be good at doing it in 1 minute. And again, it's icheatatmeditation.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, I'll post a link to the Amazon and Kobo below, but you just Google icheatatmeditation.com. And I just feel like everyone who is not already doing some kind of practice like this, now is the time to get this book and give it a chance. It looks like you have some notes there. Is there something you wanted to share?
I was just saying, and there's lots of pictures. You can read that one. It says, warning, aka the benefits. The following technique will cause a deep and lasting calmness, especially with sustained exposure. Other side effects include better sleep, improved focus and concentration, enhanced memory, genuine confidence, visible smiling, audible laughter, positivity, and physical healing.
Yay.
Lots of cartoons, and I just wanted it to be fun too.
I love that. And that's one of the things, like, you seem to be a very fun, humorous type of energy. And I love that about you, because I'm kind of on the one hand, I'm silly. And then I feel like I'm too serious at the same time. So maybe doing this meditation technique will help with that.
I like the combo. It's context.
Yeah. So I kind of want to get into the emotion of what led you to do this gift to, because I mean, $2 for your book is, it's a really good deal.
I actually wanted to do it for $0. Unfortunately, the contracts through Kobo and Kindle make it so that you can't retain IP if you do it. That's the only way to do it is directly through them. And so I had to go through a different way, and that was the lowest price I could do it. I wanted everyone to have it. And the reason that I wanted that is because I meditate. I don't just meditate for the calmness. Like that's like a side effect for me, but I meditate to remember who I am. Things get so busy in my world. I'm writing the next two books right now. I'm on, in the book series I cheat at. So Happiness and Sleep are coming up. And I am constantly on the go, whether it's traveling on a plane or flying to speak at a seminar or teaching a course. And it's go, go, go for me. And I know that it's like that for most people. And I feel like we don't get time to sit with ourselves anymore. And we need it more than anything. And it's not the same sitting down and watching a Netflix show or like binging out on something like that. We really, really need this. And I need this. I don't know what I would do, or I don't think I would exude the same kind of calmness if I didn't have this. And to be able to be the best me that I can be in my life, this is what I use. And so I wanted everyone to have that. And I felt that January is the time of year that we really do look at ourselves. We take a moment and we pause and we look at who we are and what that means for a year. And I thought, well, this is the time that something like this is going to benefit people the most. And it was the time that I probably could have made the most profit off of it, which I obviously don't care about. I want people to have it more than anything, because I feel like it's going to support them in just finding themselves and finding the best of themselves so that they can show up in their life for the people that they care about, in their jobs, in their careers, in taking action toward their visions and dreams, for your children, for yourself, to show up for you. And so that's why I did this.
Thank you for sharing that. It just touches my heart. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show. And that's why I wanted to share it. So if it's still January, take a look. I Cheat at Meditation is the name of the book. You can go to, is your website icheatatmeditation.com?
Yes.
And you are also on YouTube. I will post a link to that below in the YouTube description because you have a YouTube channel as well. But if you're watching or you're listening and it is still January 2017, consider getting the book and then share that link. Tell other people about it, because if we are living in North America, if you're blessed enough to be living in North America, if you're blessed enough to be driving in your car listening to this or watching this on the computer, we probably spend more than that $2 on a coffee most days. So consider this as an investment, not only for me. One of the things that I'm so passionate about and wanting to share this is not only because of the individual impact that it's going to have, which is obviously if you can make your life even a little bit easier, a little bit happier, great. But the thing is that when you make your life a little bit happier, when you get a little more still, that impacts the people around you. And I'd love for, I'm sure you have something to say about that, Farzana.
Oh yeah, this got me through Christmas. I definitely agree in so many ways. I know I'm laughing about it, but I had a Christmas with almost 38 family members in town, crammed into a big house with trees and dinners and all kinds of things. And I've got to say, I mean, we love our families and we push each other's buttons, right? No denying that. With the love comes button pushing and all kinds of other things too. And just imagine if you were able to, in a minute, be able to remember what's most important, to clear away all of that stuff and all of the things that trigger you in just a moment, and to find some stillness and remember what you believe in is most important. And it really is such a gift to give. And it's one of those things that a lot of people, I've gotten some really cool emails from people saying, hey, I got your book and I did the meditation with my children. And now my family, my wife and I and my kids, we all do it together. And it's made for a mindful moment. And our son was really having problems concentrating in class and they wanted to put him on Ritalin and they wanted to put him on drugs. And he now takes these meditative moments and he doesn't get into trouble and he's not like being punished in class as often. And is there more meditation that we can have? And it's things like that where I see the quality of life improving for people in such a beautiful way and family coming together and sharing this, which is really, really the main thing. Like this is what it's all about.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that story, because avoiding having to take Ritalin is huge because there are so many impacts of that drug. And I'm not discounting if there are people who legitimately need it, but if there is a way that we can naturally calm ourselves and focus ourselves, then why, and it's free.
Yeah.
Why not do that?
And I think it was actually the teacher who wrote home and said, we've noticed a great improvement in your son since he started taking the Ritalin. And the parents said, actually, we're not having him do, he hasn't taken any Ritalin at all. He's been meditating.
Oh my gosh. I bet that changed the teacher's perspective too.
Yeah. I posted on my wall last month, but somebody passed on to me that there's a school in the States that was a very high-risk school. They had a lot of expulsions, a lot of dropouts, a lot of pregnancies, like child pregnancies and whatnot. And they replaced attention with meditation, with mindful moments. And in fact, at Christmas time, my little, I think he's almost 3-year-old nephew, is now meditating in his school. And they call it a moment of silence. And he was so cute. He taught me breathing. And he's like, you breathe in and you breathe out. It's a little guy. And he's like, no, but you have to do a really big breath. And it's just so beautiful to see that. And he's like, I'm really hyper right now. He's like, I want to come sit down to eat, but first I'm going to go calm my body. And, you know, I saw it firsthand at Christmas time. But in the school, they started replacing detention with meditation. And these kids were being given space to think about who they were angry at or why they were frustrated or what was really getting to them. And dropouts went down, expulsions went down, suspension went down. And now you've got these kids who are like really reflecting and growing. And imagine like we notice the people or the children who shine, who know themselves and who have a strong sense of self, but imagine what meditating gives to your children even in that regard. So it's time to be with themselves.
Oh, I love the little 3-year-old breathing in and out. That's so cute. I can just imagine. So sweet. There was actually a story here in Vancouver in the last few months where a teacher was doing meditation in the classroom, and one of the parents complained because he believed that it was combining religion and school, which is a legitimate concern. And that's one of the things that I love about the book, is that you have tried to make it so accessible that it's not a belief system. This is a physiological soothing agent. You don't have to believe in God or Buddha or any of that in order to benefit from this.
And yet, absolutely all of that. And yet, I will still say that what happens when you go into that space and you drop into that beautiful place, I mean, we have dreams that feels so real that sometimes we wake up in the morning angry at our partner because they did something in our dream. Right. The same is true of meditation. You can have beautiful experiences in meditation, like the ability of your mind to take that space to resolve things that are going on for you, to find resolution. Like, I mean, it's not for me to say what happens when you get into that state. I'm not here to convert anyone to a belief system. I'm just here to help you find more happiness, more peace, more clarity, focus, and energy so you can really enjoy every moment of your life.
Beautiful. Again, the name of the book is I Cheat at Meditation, Zen in 60 Seconds. And if you're watching or listening to this in January of 2017, Farzana is offering the ebook version on Kindle and Kobo for $1.99 US, which apparently is the lowest it can go. She wanted to give it away for free, but in order to keep this up there, there's rules when you're posting your books online.
Copyright rules.
Yeah. So, but you know, you can get this and you can share the technique. Once you learn it, you can share it with your family. You can share it with your friends. If you're a teacher, share, you know, maybe get permission from the school before you start teaching things that are off topic. But as Farzana shared, that school in the States where kids were really, really troubled kids, probably coming from really, really troubled home situations. And just imagine the impact that that's having now on not only the children in the school, but they're taking that into their homes and they're not reacting in the same way. They're probably helping their parents too.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I did watch my nephew, and I'm sorry to my cousin for saying this on the radio, but I did watch my nephew see his parents get into a little bit of a skirmish and say, I think everybody needs a moment of silence, a moment of stillness. He was really cute. And his parents kind of laughed, and then they did it together, and it was really beautiful.
So. Sometimes we need that reminder. And as adults, it's so easy to get caught up in what we think matters, the bills and when the dinner is going to be ready and soccer practice and all of that. And we tend to lose touch with what's really important.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like community is everything. The more people you can have in your community, the more influences that you have of a positive nature towards the life that you want to lead, the energy that you want to have, the rhythm of your day, of your life, of your world that you want to keep, the easier it becomes. And so bringing it into your family, bringing it into your friend's circle, it really is a beautiful gift.
Thanks, Farzana. Well, we just have a few minutes left in the show, but I wanted to address this. Now, I know that the clients that you work with are athletes and executives, and they've reached a high level of success in their lives already. I recently, just yesterday and today, had some comments on YouTube from someone who is very, very stuck, very isolated, lonely, suffering from incredible anger problems to the point where even just reading about the anger, I felt a little bit of fear in myself, and just feeling really stuck and hopeless. And I know that if he's commenting, there are at least 100 other people who are feeling the exact same way and not sharing where they're at. And I know that it's not easy to meditate when there are all of these mental health challenges going on and inner demons. And so I'm just wondering if we can talk a little bit more about what happens just when we focus on the breath, even if you're in a situation where everything is stacked against you. What little shift might we even be able to get from that?
Okay, so in terms of mental health, anger, different things, I know meditation is one of the biggest things right now in mental health hygiene campaigns nationally across the country. And so I'm not saying that I would never say stop taking your medication. I would never say stop taking the drugs that were prescribed to you, or that you do not have a challenge. But what I can say is that there is a plasticity of the mind, and there is a truth of the mind, which is that the path that you take of your mind, that which you practice most, becomes a stronger habit or behavior. And if you practice calmness, if you practice happiness, you will get there more and more easily. And it doesn't matter if you're depressed or otherwise, and you may still have challenges with those other things. But that's not to say that you can't take control of the certain portion of your mind and your brain and the body of your brain, the entire nervous system that you can. And that breath is so powerful. Just by noticing your breath, even in the most enraged state, I wouldn't even say start forcing your breath into something. I would say start by noticing it. Start by changing your body. Expand your shoulders. Imagine your breath flowing into your belly. And just by thinking that, your breaths are going to start to change. That ability to, whenever you're in a moment of whatever emotion it is that you don't want to be in, the very first thing that you can control is in your physiology, the easiest thing to do is your breath and the physiology around that. So to take a really good breath, you want your shoulders broaden, you want your spine straight, and you want your belly relaxed so that you can get the most expansion into your rib cages as possible. And it is the plasticity of the mind. So think about creating forests and trails. I think I use that analogy in the book. And it's this idea that you may have a place in your mind that's anger or depression or sadness. And the pathway to get to those places is very easy right now for you. But imagine if someone showed you a pathway to calmness and resourcefulness. And if you took it just the one time, you wouldn't make much of a trail in a very rich, plush forest. You'd maybe make a little disturbance, but forests grow back. They grow back really quickly. But if you kept taking the same path again and again, that pathway would widen and it would become a roadway and it would get easier and easier to get to that place. And so this idea of, and it's a great time to do this in the new year, of noticing the things that you don't like and then putting in something new, it's really great. And the breath is genuinely, you're doing it anyways. You're breathing all day long anyways, so why not take advantage of it?
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for that. That was one of the, I was having, responding to those comments before the show, and it was just bringing up so much emotion. And I just felt like everyone can benefit from taking a moment, taking a breath and noticing. But the relief of suffering just makes such an impact on the world. And I'm so grateful to you, Farzana, for putting yourself out there and for making this book available for as low as possible through the ebook version. That's Kindle and Kobo. The name of the book is I Cheat at Meditation, Zen in 60 Seconds. And you can get it through the month of January for $1.99 US on Kindle and Kobo. If you're watching on YouTube, again, I will post the links below. I just want to know, Farzana, if there's anything that needs to be said that hasn't been said yet.
I just want to say that part of meditation is unlearning all of those shoulds that were placed upon you and finding the right one for you. You know, a lot of the meditations that are practiced were meant for monks to be celibate and or take vows of silence and to be able to live in isolation or to detach from reality. And we need to be present in here. So you have to find the one that works for you. It doesn't have to change your personality. It doesn't have to change who you are, but it is a journey. And I just like to say that you can always get me on Facebook or Twitter or through the I Cheat at Meditation community, the back end of the website, and I will be here to answer your questions.
Yay, awesome. And you can get on board with that for in January, just less than $2 US. I just want everyone to at least look at it. Take a moment and consider it. And another thing that I know we're running over, are you okay to go a few minutes over?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So one of the things that really touched me while listening to the long meditation as well as reading it in the book is something you said about how pretending is doing it. imagining it is doing it. And can you, I just felt like, because I always, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, who I often feel like I'm not doing it right, or I don't know the perfect technique, or that just the doing it right is this huge fear and worry. And that idea of just whatever it is that you're doing it, just relieved so many worries for me. So can you say a little more about that?
So in the whole world of intuition and mind-body control, and athletes who use visualization will tell you this too, it doesn't matter. Like, everybody imagines or visualizes or perceives in their own unique way. And the reason that I say that is because the intention is everything. So when you think about, when you think like this idea, and that was specifically the portion where you use the power of your subconscious imagination to bring your energy back into your body. So you have, you're collecting all of the extraneous energy from yourself and you're bringing it in. And the reason that I do that is because it helps us collect ourselves. We sort of have this tendency to fragment our mental energy or otherwise in different places on our to-dos and items. And the idea of using a visualization, there are a lot of people who believe that they can't visualize properly, or they think that they have to see it like a 3D movie. That's not the case at all. And so some people have a feeling. Some people just get like a tingle in their gut. Some people I know get like a little shiver. Some people, like, it is what it is for you. And I really do stand by that. Thinking it is doing it, feeling it is doing it, perceiving it is doing it, imagining it is doing it, intending it, all of it is doing that. And that process, you really can't get this wrong. And it's okay if thoughts come up. It's okay if you have a little daydream. It's okay if you fall asleep once in a while. That's natural. You give yourself space to decompress and let your brain and body get what they need.
Thanks, Farzana. And just one more technical question. You, mm-hmm. in the book, you teach the meditation where you're sitting and you're having your spine erect as much as possible. But if you're in line at the bank, like, you can still do this if you're standing. Is that right?
Oh, totally. Totally. You can. I mean, I'm tall, but I find I get a little bit of sway on. I sway a tiny bit, but I'm okay with that. I've yet to have anyone criticize someone for just taking a moment to breathe, not at their desk, not in line, not waiting for a coffee. Like, you know, just not in the car, not in a moving car, and not at a stoplight either, or traffic.
Pull over. Yeah. You don't want to fall asleep at the stoplight. They'll be honking at you behind yeah. you. All right. Well, we have been speaking with Farzana Jaffer Jerich.
Yeah, awesome.
I Cheat at Meditation is the name of the book. And if you're listening in January 2017, you can get it for just less than $2 American on Kindle and Kobo. If you're listening any other time, then you can still look up the book. But I really wanted to get this out at the beginning of the year so that we can start making our lives a little bit better this year, and just taking a little bit more ownership of our inner experience, which also theoretically will impact our outer experience as well. And so, Farzana, is there a message that you'd like to leave us with today before we close the show?
Take time to be with yourself. Give yourself permission to sit. And even if you don't do this technique exactly, I hope you do. I hope you find benefit out of it. Give yourself permission once in a while to just do nothing. No laundry, no shoulds, no shouldn'ts. Just give yourself permission to do nothing and just sit with yourself. That's it. That's all.
Thank you so much. Well, we've been speaking with Farzana Jaffer Jerich. I Cheat at Meditation is the name of the book. My name is Marie Bernard. You can find me at mariebernard.com. Farzana's website for the book is icheatatmeditation.com. You can also find her on Twitter, on YouTube, Facebook. And if you're watching online, I will post those links below. If you're listening on the radio, you can go to citr.ca and I'll post some of her social media links as well for your convenience. Thank you so much to Farzana for being with us today. And And thank you for watching and for listening and for being present, for gifting us with your energy and your attention today. I want to send you lots of love. Be well. Namaste. Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
Are You Aware Radio, alternate Thursday 6 to 7 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Profiling music and musicians take the route of positive action over apathy.